Good morning to all of you. Thank you for coming out this morning. I trust this last week was a good week for you. I trust you had an encouraging week. Thursday evening, we attended the, well, let me back up a little bit. The last two weeks for us have been, I'm sure you all experience this from time to time. Sometimes there's weeks, months where you just sort of, so to speak, glide through life and nothing really unusual comes up. And then you hit weeks where there's bumps in the road and you really experience life. And so we've experienced that in the last 2 weeks. Life has been real, different things to work through. And Thursday night we were at the Gospel Express banquet, and I enjoy going there. And for the simple reason is I always come away encouraged. And I'm always blessed with Brother Dave Miller. He always has an encouraging word when you go. And there were different groups that sang, and one of the groups that sang, one of the men shared, he said that in our daily lives, he encouraged each one of us to be involved in something bigger than ourselves. And that stood out to me, and I trust that each one of our desires is that as we go throughout life, that we don't become self-centered, but that we focus on something other than just ourselves. Because when I do that, I find so much more purpose in life. And it gets the focus off of me and my things that I'm going through, and I focus on other things as well. So may that be an encouragement to you. Before we go into the message this morning, I ask, there's a song that I came across this past week, and I don't know, maybe you don't feel this way, but often it feels in our daily lives, we're so busy. There's so much going on, and even at work, I find for myself the time goes so fast. I look at the clock and it's 9 o'clock. The next time I look at it, it's noontime. The next time I look at it, it's time to go home. And it seems time just moves right along. And if I'm not careful, I almost forget to simply just take time and let God speak to my life and hear what God has to say. That's so important that, like we heard earlier this morning, that we take time, we're quiet, and we hear from God, because that is where we get answers to life's problems. That is where we get answers to our prayer, if we simply take time and we're quiet and we let God speak to our hearts. And so I'm going to let Pete play the song, and I thought this morning, you know what, let's just use it as a way to, for the next couple minutes, just sit back and let God speak to our hearts. And we want to invite the Holy Spirit's presence, and then after that, we'll go into the message. Okay, thank you for playing that, Pete. I trust that was an encouragement to me. The words just really struck home with me, and I trust that you listened to the words, and they spoke to you as well. So as far as a message for this morning, this last week as I was trying to decide what I want to share about this morning, and it's sort of, for those of you who have shared before, when you try and you sit down and you try and study for a message, you sort of think you have something together, and it just doesn't really come together when you try and study. That doesn't work well. And so finally you're like, God, what do you want me to share? And that's sort of where I was at this week. Yesterday morning, I thought I sort of had a direction I was going to go in, and it just didn't really come together. It didn't fit. And finally yesterday morning, I told God, you know what, if this is the message you want me to share, then I want to be faithful and share it. So it's simply, and you will know I've said this before, I'm a simple man, and whenever I get up to share, you're going to hear a simple message. You're not going to hear something that's hard to understand. You don't have to wonder what is he trying to say. And so the title of the message is simply The Christian Home. And I had to think, maybe it's because I'm in the middle of it right now. And maybe that's why God brought it to my mind. And I want this to be an encouraging message to each one of you. I know we're all at different stages here this morning, but there are quite a bit of us here who are in the thick of it, in the middle of raising our children. And I believe it's such a vital key part for the world, for the church, in order for the church and the world to keep on going, if our families fall apart, we're gonna be in trouble. We're gonna have a mess. And I think we would all agree that in our society today, it feels like the devil is targeting the families. And if he can get the families separated and that the families don't get together, they argue over different things, then he knows that he has us. And so I want this to be an encouragement to you this morning, is for those of you who have young children, keep on keeping on. There's times maybe when you wonder, am I actually making a difference? Are my children actually getting what I'm trying to tell them? I find it interesting, the older that I get, back in my growing up years, there were things that mom and dad taught us that I wondered, okay, what does this have to do with anything? Why are they telling us this? But now looking back, the older I get, I realize how important it is and how it fit into my personal life. And so a key part for us as families is us as fathers, stepping up and filling our roles. And we need to be, in our day-to-day and age, we need to be intentional about it. And there's a lot, when I say being intentional about it, there's a lot of things maybe that we say that we want to do, but we actually don't carry it out. But if we're intentional with something, we carry it out, we make it happen. And I believe every morning, every day, us as parents need to be intentional in raising our children. So if you stop and think about it, we have roughly a 20-year span, give or take a little bit, that we have to raise and to teach our children, that they are in our care. And after they come to a certain age, they will simply have to, they start making their own decisions. They make their own choices. And at that point, we simply need to pray and give them over to God and pray that everything that we poured into them plays into effect. And so for those of us who are in the thick of it, in the middle of it, it feels like a long time, but I'm sure those of you who most of your children have left, you would say it was a very short time that you had to make an impact on your children's life. And so it's not just a part-time job. It's a full-time job, and it requires our attention all the time. And I find as I go throughout the week, it seems that along with raising a family, having a job, sometimes you're like, okay, where should I actually put my attention to? Maybe you don't think about that, but it feels like there's so many different things calling, different responsibilities. And so I guess that is a key point as well, using our time wisely and spending time with our children. It's such an important part. If we want our children to follow after our footsteps, it's going to take time, it's going to take effort. If we just do it half-heartedly, there's a good chance that we're going to pay a price for it at the end as well. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to get a couple verses there, sort of a blueprint for the family here, and I see I'm going to have to keep moving here. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm just going to start reading at verse 25 and read down to the end, verse 33. Break in there at verse 25. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself also. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." So like I mentioned, this is in essence a blueprint for the family, how God designed it. And it's so important that us as fathers and mothers, that we work together in raising our children, that we talk about raising our children, that we're daily in communication, and that so that we know what the spouse, what the other partner is thinking. And it's going to, it takes both of us working together. And I had to think, if the family stays together and if we follow God's headship order, it works. If we do things God's way, it works. And I had to think, so many people in our society, it feels like they want to do their own thing, but they just want to have a little bit of God. Maybe a little bit of God here and there when they run into a hard time. But we need if we want the blessings of God, we need to have a daily walk with God, a daily relationship with God. It comes through prayer and reading of His Word. Okay, I'm just looking at my notes here and seeing what I want to cover here. Talking to us fathers, I just jotted some things down here. It says, fathers, we have to be on our guard. We are the leaders of our home, and we're probably the first one that the enemy is going to target. I had to think, how do I spend my time? Do I spend my time wisely when I'm at home? How much? And I just jotted down some very practical things that came to my mind is phone time when I'm at home. Am I actually at home, or is part of me somewhere else? Am I on my phone? Am I so engaged that I don't almost have time for the children? What about reading the newspaper, reading a book, whatever it may be? That challenged me. When I'm at home, am I really at home? Am I 100% there and doing my part as a father in the home? And another thought that crossed my mind, maybe you guys don't think about this, but it feels like where is that balance in working and providing for our families? Everything is, in the day and age that we live in, everything is so costly. It almost feels like you need a second income in order to survive. And so I had to think, where is that balance of fathers of working long hours simply to provide for our family? And I guess that I came to the essence that, you know what, we have to talk to God about that, and God will show us and God will direct us what He has for us. Another thing, how much time do I spend with my hobbies, sports, hunting, fishing? I enjoy it, but like everything else, there's a balance. We need to find the middle of the road. I'm going to read back when Charlie Kirk's funeral was, his wife Erica read off something at his funeral that really stood out to me. I actually got it. Someone sent it to me in an email form, and I'm going to read it here this morning, and it stood out to me. Hopefully, it will be a blessing to you fathers as well. It says, to all men watching around the world, accept Charlie's challenge and embrace. So let me back up. If I'm correct, Charlie Kirk was he was for the American family. He wanted the families to prosper, and I believe at one point Erica mentioned that one of Charlie's favorite verses is, was it Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives. And every day, she said, every day he would get up and ask her, how can I serve you better? How can I be a better husband today? And so he was all about the families, and he was all about having children and raising children. And it feels like in our society, that's almost, how should I say it? We almost try and plan and design, you know what? We only want so many children, and after that, we're done, because children are burdensome and they take time. You know what? I don't think that's how God designed it. I think that's another area where we need to be careful that we don't stray and simply take our own way and decide, you know what? I only want two children, and then after that, I'm done. Talk to God about it. Like I said, I know children are work. They take a lot of effort, but at the end, when we get to our older years, our children can be a blessing to us as well. And they can be there in return to help us then. Okay, I'm going to keep on going here with what I started. It says, to all men watching around the world, accept Charlie's challenge and embrace true manhood. Be strong and courageous for your families. Love your wives and lead them. Love your children and protect them. Be the spiritual head of your home. But please be a leader worth following on your wife. Your wife is not your servant. Your wife is not your employee. Your wife is not your slave. She is your helper. You are not rivals. You are one flesh working together for the glory of God. And there's a lot in there that we could talk about and cover, but it just stood out to me. So I just, again, encourage us as fathers here this morning. Take responsibility. Be the spiritual leader. Love your wives. Love your children. Protect them. And fill the role that God has called you to. And then it goes on and it says, your wife is not your employee. She is not your slave. She is your helper. And if I'm not careful, sometimes I'll ask my wife to do something, and you know what? I could have done it myself. And she's always more than happy to do it. But I had to think, what kind of manner do I come across in when I ask my wife or my children to do something? I'm not the king at my house. I'm the leader, and I need to be a leader that can be looked up to, so that my wife and my children respect me and that they're willing to do things for me. Just some more things that I jotted down here. Our children are a gift from God. Our children are the next generation. How do we want the next generation to look? If we want the next generation to be successful, then we're going to have to put a lot of time and effort into our children so that they have something to build off of, so that they have a foundation. We don't have to be ashamed of them. Something that, and I realize why people do it, but something that bothers me is there's so many events, different things going on, and they don't want the children there. Even in our own, and like I said, I realize why people do it. I'm not critical, but it bothers me. Even in our own weddings that we have in our own churches, don't want the children there. How in the world do we expect our children to see what happens in a wedding or whatever it may be in our church settings if we never take them along? And like I said, I'm not being a critic. Sometimes it bothers me. I know our children are work. They're fussy. But you know what? God gave them to us for a blessing. And thank the Lord. Thank the Lord if you have a healthy child that you can take care of. Do not be threatened by your children. Acknowledge them in public. Empower them to do more than what you ever did. So as I had to think, as my children get older, am I threatened by them, or do I empower them, or do I want them to do more than what I was able to do in my lifetime? I trust that's each one of our desire this morning. Don't be threatened by your children. Empower your children to do more and to do greater things than what you were able to do in your lifetime. And just rephrasing again what I said, if we do things God's way, and if we follow God's headship order, then the family will work. Then it's a beautiful thing. But once we step out of that, then a little bit of anything can come to pass. A little bit of anything can happen. And then we are a target for the enemy to start attacking the family. Okay. I just jotted down some points that I came across that stood out to me in key steps in raising a godly family. Number one is teach them to know and to love God. I believe we would all say that's number one. Start by helping your children build a relationship with Jesus. They're never too young to start that. Start it at a young age. If I'm correct, is it the first 4 to 5 years that they take in the most, something to that extent? And if you think about it, they're simply a little sponge that takes in what us as parents are saying. And they're not only going to take in what we're saying, but they're going to take in what other people say as well. So it's so important that we start teaching our children at a young age about loving Jesus, having a relationship with Jesus. Take time and explain the plan of salvation. Pray with them. Have a live family altar in the evening, the morning, whatever it works best for you. Take time. And I love, our children are at the age where they start praying themselves, and I love listening to our children pray. Sometimes I'll ask one of them to lead in prayer. And so that blesses me when I hear children pray. Let them see what your personal walk with the Lord is, real and daily. Let them know that Christ has to be number one in our life. And we can say all of that, but a lot of that happens, like the saying goes, more is caught than taught. They will see a lot more than probably what they will hear us say. Proverbs 22, verse 6. very familiar verse goes like this. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he was old, he will not depart from it. It was written back in King Solomon's time, and I believe it's still for us today. It still works if we do it God's way. If we train our children in a godly way, and then they will respond to that. Point number two, it's model what a godly parent should look like. And like I said, more is caught than taught. They will catch on quicker to probably if they see me, the things that I do then versus the things that I say all the time. Let them see how you treat your wife. Men, do we treat our wives with respect? Love and cherish them. Show them how to handle problems. When things arrive, when different instances, use it as a teaching moment. Sit down as a family and have a discussion about it. If there's something that comes up, sit down and discuss it with your children. How should we handle this problem? What should we do with it moving forward? And there's a lot of things that go with this as well. Teach them how to handle finances, how to use their money. That's something else that I feel like we're losing very rapidly in our society is teaching our children how to be wise stewards of what God has given to us, how to save money. We hear very little about that. We love to spend money, but trust me, if you don't save money at some point in your life, you're going to start running into some issues. So saving money is very important. And I realize spending it is a lot more, but it's very important. Teach them about tithing. Why do we put money into the offering? Teach them how to serve others. Jot it down. Giving is the highest level of living. And if we, like I said, if we serving, we will always feel, it will always be a blessing and we'll always feel rewarded and fulfilled. Number three, I'm just going to go through these rapidly. My time is almost here to close. It says, and a lot of these are just common every day, but for myself, I had to think, I need to be reminded. I forget things. Point number three is teach responsibility and hard work. Hard work is something else that's very rapidly disappearing in the United States. A lot of companies can't find people to work anymore. It seems like people are scared of work. They don't want to work anymore. Teach your children how to work. Hard work never killed anyone. Teach them give them small jobs around the house to do. Teach them in those small ways, washing dishes, feeding the dog, whatever it may be. Let them work with their hands. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Just another familiar verse here. It says, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Very practical. If we don't work, the Bible says we shouldn't eat either. Number four, discipline. I had to think discipline and love. And let me back up. I wanted to mention this at the start. And I felt like when I felt like this was what I was supposed to share about, I was like, God, why am I the one? I should be the one listening. There's a lot of older gentlemen who have gone through this, and they have the answers. They know better than what I do, but I wanted to be faithful. And like I said, a lot of these are very practical ways that to raise our children. Number four is discipline and love. Obviously, children need correction, but they also need love. So where is that balance? That can be a challenge at times to know where the balance is. I jot it down. Don't discipline your children when you're angry. That's never the right time. That's one of the many areas that I struggle in is doing something or making decisions when I'm upset, because I will tend to do the wrong thing then. Wait until whatever has happened, things have calmed down. And in my growing up years, there was there used to be a man who treated his children. He would get upset and you would see the results right away. And that always struck a chord in me, and I don't think I'll ever forget that. Don't in public. There's times, but there's also ways to discipline your children. You don't have to beat your children in public. Like I said, that it always stood out to me, and I was like, I don't want to do that. Don't respond in anger, because later on you will regret, and you'll have to go back and apologize to your children. But I do strongly feel that there is definitely a time for discipline when it's done out of love. When we sit down and we explain why we're doing it. I even jotted down, sit down as couples and make sure you're on the same page. Make sure you know how you feel about the whole thing of discipline, so that you can work together on it. Point number five, it says, teach courage and boldness. The world that we're living in wants our children to be confused. They want our children to grow up and not be sure what they are. Let me rest assure you, there's a male and there's a female. That's how God created everything, and that's still the way it is. There's no other options. There's no in-betweens. So don't let your children grow up and be confused about their gender. Teach them to stand for truth even when it's hard. The phrase comes to my mind, you have to stand for something or you're going to fall for anything. Encourage them how to be a leader. Show them in your walk of life how to be a leader. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Goes like this, watch ye, stand in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Encourage your children to be strong, even when times are hard. Okay, number six, talk openly about life. Have open conversations about life, about the things that come up in life. A few things that I jotted down is purity. Why is it important? Respect. I had to think that something else that we're losing very rapidly in our society is respect. Respect for one another, respect for each other in the home, respect for each other in the church. That goes a long, long way. Just because I respect someone doesn't always mean that I agree with them, but there still has to be that form of respect there in order for us to work together. Teach them God's design. Teach them about the opposite sex, all those things that go with it. Anger, how to deal with it. Fears, where to go when they're scared. It's only a matter of times till all of those things will come up, and it's so important that if we teach it to our children, the older they get, they will remember that. Don't let the world be louder than you are in their lives. That one really stood out to me. Don't let the world be louder than you are in their lives. When your boys start dating, tell them to look for a wife, not a girlfriend. Number seven goes like this. Call out their identity. Tell them that they're a child of God. Tell them that Jesus loves them. Help them to know what their identity is and that they can find their identity in Christ and that God has a plan, God has a purpose for their lives. He created each one of them for for a purpose. Encourage them to serve. Encourage them to serve on a mission field somewhere. And often, you often see that if parents are willing to go, the children often follow in their footsteps as well. And I'll repeat myself again. Let them know often that God loves them and that you as parents love them. I believe that is a key ingredient in raising our families is love. Our children need to know that we love them and that God loves them as well. In closing here, this world needs men, real hardworking, devoted, faithful men. God needs real men. Families need real men. Churches need real men. Communities need real men, and our world desperately needs real men. So I guess the encouragement for us today is, fathers in our homes, may we not get weary. At times, at times it feels like there's so many different things happening, so many voices trying to get our attention, but may we keep our attention on what is good. May we spend time with our families, our children, and use our time wisely that use our time wisely that God has given us. And I trust this morning that the message was an encouragement to you. Keep on doing what you're doing. Let's not give up in teaching our children. It's a very, very important role, and if we want the next generation to succeed, how do we want the next generation to look? If we spend time and teach our children the things that are right, then we can also reap that in the end. And like I said, I'll repeat myself again, if we do things God's way, then it will work. If we follow God's headship order, things will work. Why don't we pause yet for a word of prayer, and then I'll turn the time back over to Tyler. Dear fathers, we come before you this morning. We thank you for this opportunity that we had again this morning to come to your house to worship you, Lord. And may we, as we go about our daily lives, Lord, may we keep pressing on, Lord. You haven't come back for us yet, so we're supposed to remain faithful, remain busy doing your work, and just encourage, strengthen each one of us, Lord, wherever we're at in different areas of life, that we would take courage and continue, Lord, to be faithful to you. We know we always have an enemy out there who's trying to derail us, trying to discourage us from doing what's right, Lord. But may we look to your promises and your truths, Lord, and may we be faithful as we serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.